from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper. You are Live from the Path.
And you're listening to Live from the Path, coming from the Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you what happened.
What happened?
Yeah. So it's gonna be See, now every time I say this, it ends up going long, but we can't do it today. It's an advice only show, and it's an advice only show because we talked about before the show even started. We talked about visions provided by God. We talked about faith of a mustard seed, difficulties in the current culture, the requirement and sitting on the precipice of actually fully submitting to God's provision into the world, difficulties in unequal yoking in marriage, and among other sundry other items. And
we
solved
all those things too.
Yeah, we solved every bit of that.
Yeah,
I didn't record that.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So anyway, because we've done this, it's late. It's late around here. People need to sleep. They work tomorrow. Whatever. So we're going to do advice today, maybe two, maybe three. We'll see how fast they go, and then we're going to cut it. So hopefully we can get you in and out of here in under 45. Go ahead, Mike.
Are you ready?
Yeah, we're ready.
It's firing hot.
Oh, no.
Firing hot right out of the stringer.
We're going to be here for 2 hours.
Okay, somebody had previously written in to Dear Life from the Path about their pets joining them for eternity.
Oh, boy.
This man has submitted a rebuttal. He says, Dear Life from the Path, the person who wrote in last time was told by his Catholic friend that his cat wouldn't be joining him in the afterlife. I have been an ordained pastor for 27 years.
They do that on the internet.
So I know.
And here's the kicker. Last summer, my cat, Fred, who had been with me for 11 years, died. I claim no deeper or higher connection to God than anyone else, but I do know this.
Wait, he already has claimed a higher and deeper relationship to God.
Dude, his ordination. Yeah. Yeah. His man-made paper. But I do know this. The Bible says that God is a God of love. Indeed, that God is love. I know of no more loving companion than pets. Dogs and cats express their love for us humans far better than most of us humans do for each other. I also know that Fred, who just showed up at my house one night and adopted me, taught me many lessons about how to love and be loved. Mm-hmm. I'm certain God sent Fred into my life to prepare me for marriage after 55 years as a bachelor. I'm a better husband and pastor because of Fred.
Not the spouse.
Cat prepared you for marriage?
And the pastorate.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Therefore, I cannot imagine God not inviting, even welcoming, Fred into some sort of heavenly afterlife, whatever that may look like. Oh. Love never dies, not in the Bible. And I don't believe that the loving relationship between a pet and their human ends at death.
So on that logic, we get anything we want.
Right.
I mean, I really love mint chocolate chip Breyers ice cream.
I get that McDonald's buffet that I've been talking about God for 15 years on this show.
You get McDonald's, I get Breyers ice cream.
Yeah. My own personal heaven.
Listen.
With snowflake and ice cream.
I love animals. That's going to attest to my house, right? Like, we just have 1,000 animals, right? They're all over the place. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, what you're trying to do is conflate two very different facts. When God says that God is indeed love, he cannot be anything different. He also describes what love is to love him, like in return. Now, what you're doing is comparing the love of an animal who will literally eat its own feces when you're not looking, who has a low path of complicated thought. It looks at you and goes, you're the key to my food, my affection, and my attempts to go outside and get this squirrel. These are the three things this thing has for me, and I will sit right by it until it provides one of these three items. And you have looked at it and extrapolated this deep, complicated, like, life together as if you are making compromises together as a unit.
Yeah.
You are not.
Right. The cat has built you up for the pastorate.
This cat has not poured into you. You have read deeply. Now, I'm not saying that, like, it's real possible that God is well aware of his creation and the effects that a cat or a dog can have on a human being.
Yeah. Yep.
This is not lost on him,
right?
He knows what this is, right? Sure. And there is nothing when you're feeling absolutely low and a dog or a cat want to come just hang out with you and just be your buddy, like Job friend style before they screwed it all up. These are all biblical good things as far as I'm concerned, right? But what you can't do is overprescribe their role in creation. As if they're in a complicated relationship with you, similar to a marriage, a friendship, a pastoral relationship. That's too far, friend. It can't hold all that. He's a cat.
I want you to imagine you spend your last moment here on earth. You close your eyes. You open them in the presence of Jesus. And you look beside him, and there are thousands of angry chickens up there.
That's terrifying.
You sent them there.
You ate their earthly bodies.
It's interesting to,
you have to explain it.
To like listen to be in the situation where you're a pastor and you're ordained and are therefore holier. And believe that because God is love, and for some reason you think that pets are an even more perfect expression of God's love than we are to one another because of how much Fido loves you or how much Greg loves you or whatever his cat's name was, that the opposite means that if the cat isn't with you in heaven, that God does not love you.
Ooh.
And does not understand. Mm-hmm. And so... that's a rough
thing.
That's
an eternity alone.
Yeah, that's a rough place to be, that it's like, hey man, God, you better give me my cat up in heaven or you don't really love me.
You get all of your cats?
Right, and it's only cats and dogs in this person's mind probably, because we've domesticated those animals over a little bit of human existence. But like
that raccoon you ran over.
Right, I felt God's love through a tiger, and so I get a tiger in heaven.
Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't like dog.
Yeah, I think it's entirely possible that you will find pets that you remembered in your restored creation. I think all your justifications are stupid.
Right.
They're not particularly sound, and they either pull your authority or some unique circumstance of which you've had that you cannot contemplate a forever with the Lord without the presence of twist ice cream from the Casey's, and that's not acceptable.
Yeah, sure.
And so
I don't have a problem with having pets in heaven.
Yeah.
Like I don't care.
Oh no, I chose somebody else, Dan. Lower rent.
I know, but let's not put them on the same level.
let's not.
That's more of a purgatory.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Purgatory ice cream is fantastic.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's. I couldn't. I agree with you, kind of, except for none of what you said. Go ahead.
There's a more rebuttal. This caused a huge stir. So a lot of people wrote in about it.
Oh.
Dear Life from the Path,
okay.
There's a story about an old gentleman who lost his life in a sudden accident, which also took the life of his very old dog.
Yeah.
Afterward, they found themselves on a long road, which finally led to a tall and beautifully decorated gate guarded by an official-looking man with a magnificent gray beard and long white robe. "This is heaven," the bearded man said. "Come in. We've been expecting you. But you'll have to leave your dog outside. No animals allowed." The old man thought about it for a moment before saying, "That's okay. We'll keep walking." Eventually, they came to a small turnstile where they encountered a scruffy old man with a wide grin sitting on a stool. "You passed the final test," the smiling man said, pushing open the turnstile. "My name is Peter. Welcome to heaven." "But I thought we passed heaven a few hours ago. They wouldn't let me bring my dog in," the old gentleman said sadly.
"Oh, no."
"No," replied Peter. "That was the devil you met back there, trying to tempt you one last time. Deep down inside, you knew better. Pearly gates or not, how could any place be heaven if you couldn't bring your dog?"
That is the epitome of truth.
It's third Corinthians.
That's Second Hesitations 14.
Wow. Okay, listen.
It's one final test.
No, listen. there's a lot of schools of thoughts on this. Everybody wants to go. Here's the thing: when you meet your Lord and Savior Jesus, right, and His smiling face up in heaven or on a renewed earth, depending on when all this happens for you. If you're still like, "But where's Britches? I wish Britches was here." You may not be accurate. The angels can do nothing more than sit around and go holy, holy, holy forever, for millennia upon millennia. This is all they can muster due to the might, majesty, and awesomeness that is before them. And you're anticipating sealing the smiling face of your Redeemer and going, Patches? Come on, Patches. I'm telling you that what you think is the best this world has to offer is not even close. Maybe yeah, that there's people there.
Yet we have the picture that we're given in Scripture is one, a creation that God declares to be good,
yeah,
and a creation of which God is not okay with destroying but restoring.
Right.
Right. And so whatever it is that God has created that is good, He expects and understands that we are related to it as a goodness, and expects to restore that in some way so that we may continue to enjoy it. Like, frankly, that's one of the key reasons why it's on the table for me. I think it's possible.
So it depends on to what level you look at this, right? Because that hurricane that just came through took out a couple trees, and God's like, I declared those trees good. I will be forced to bring them back in a renewed reality.
I mean, whether it's those specific trees or the...
Yeah, I think that's the thing, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that is the question.
So we could have a community dog.
It's possible.
Like Clifford the Big Red Dog.
We're tackling the real issues here, fellas. When, in a restored heaven, do we have one dog? Or is everybody it two dogs? Because there had, like, there had to be two dogs.
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, this is me showing potentially dumb, but like, the restoration is a new Eden, right? And like, is that not kind of how it was meant to be in the beginning? And Adam is very obviously there with animals.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, there's a distinction that, like, though. Man was breathed life into an animal.
Right, agreed.
Weren't. So there's some spiritual
but they're there.
Thing. But they're there.
So, yeah, like, I don't think. I don't
images
think.
Images of animals in eternity that who knows what they are.
Right. I don't think Fido gets Ruach from the Lord into him or anything like that. I think that God just went, like, yeah, this is my creation. You have dominion over these things. Name them. Rule over them, and they are here with you in creation as you walk with me. And like, cool.
Maybe we get a new
maybe
dog
there's
every
hippopotamuses
day.
In heaven, and it's fine.
Well, I think there. I think there are hippopotamuses in heaven. I mean, like, the picture you get is one of not of a completely non-existent creation, but one that is at peace. Right.
Right,
the lion.
Yeah.
The lion does lay with the lamb.
Yes. Right.
It's not that they're obliterated because we don't do that anymore.
No, their sustenance is just in God.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's pictures, right? So I think, like, this is where I'm open. I'm not sure.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't say that's a slam dunk item.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you there.
But God is aware. It's the same thing, actually. It comes up when people are like, you remember when Jesus talks about, you know, who won't be married in heaven.
Yes, right.
And there's a pain to that, if like, as people are thinking about it, because they're like, but like, God, marriage is ordained by God. He said it was good. It is supposed to be something that is a reflection of Him. And now you're telling me that when at the restoration is just obliterated completely, and I won't love or have any affection with this person.
We just won't need it.
And I don't right. It's a like Jesus is telling not that that's not the story He's getting at. It's a protection issue.
Sure,
like your provision comes from God. It's not dependent upon that earthly relationship. But like, I do think you actually still know the people you love. There is
something,
right? And so if that's
we don't have physical relations there,
right?
This is the point. We don't marry like we do here.
Yes, right. It's not for the same purposes or whatever. And so, with those things, is God aware of the connection that humans over all of time have had with animals? Now, different animals in different cultures for sure, right. But like, you know, these is God aware of them? Which means, like, I think it's possible. He told, like, to Mike's point, like, whatever we're thinking of is too low for certain. And so it's probably wrong to draw lines like, if Patches is not there, then God is not good. Like, that's wrong.
Mike, but, I've been waiting for you to get here, son. Do you have any questions for me? Can I pet that dog?
But father... Can I pet that dog?
That really complicates things if you have someone in Ohio who ate your cat.
Oh, sweet Moses.
And now you have your cat and you've been trying to evangelize that person. And you're all around the throne together. It gets really awkward.
Yeah. And the cat's going,
I know what you did.
And even Jesus is like, now, Bronco, we've forgiven Fred for what he done.
You know, you tasted good.
Oh, gosh.
Go sit by Clifford the Big Red Doe.
I don't want to sit next to the lamb.
There's a creepy lion right next to it.
I know you said he isn't going to eat me here, but like all my life I've been told stay away from that thing.
Okay. Is there any advice or is this just published rebuttals?
Published rebuttals. Okay. That's it. Okay. Here's one you can you offer advice in.
Okay.
You're live from the path. I'm 49 and recently divorced, and I have had to stay with my mother for months during the divorce. During this time, she has made me a budget, opens my mail, and treats me like I am 5 years old.
Okay.
Hey, man, it's a pretty high-end five-year-old that needs a budget to get mail. I'm just saying, dude.
Not five.
She has done this all my life. I have severe anxiety, and she is part of it. For some reason, I can't tell her to back off. Do you have any suggestions?
You'd tell her to back off.
Hold up. Are we to assume that this is a son or a daughter? I don't know how much I care, but like I'm just interested.
It sounds like a dude to me, but
they're right. That's what I was thinking too.
Yeah,
I wonder what's wrong in your marriage that you're 49 years old and getting divorced. Yeah. If you've got a mom who feels like she needs to open your mail and budget for you,
yeah,
and she's been doing it all your life, I imagine that was probably difficult for your wife to walk through.
Okay, yeah. So let's parse through just a couple of truths. You didn't have to stay with your mom. You lived your life in a way that put you in a situation, where you chose to stay with your mom. Right? Like, I mean, there's lots of other options. Let's say that you're dead broke, right? Like,
sure.
You could be homeless for a little while. You go sit up at a homeless camp, find yourself a shelter. There's all kinds of options to not staying with your mom. So you did choose this.
She set a budget for you, meaning that you have money coming in.
Right.
And you told her how much.
Yeah.
And she opens your mail.
Which means you
didn't put the kibosh against.
Yeah.
And like, you have anxiety about this from all of your life.
Get a post office box. If you're getting mail. I don't even get mail. I get like ads. I mean, everything else is digital, you know?
It's 2024. Why are you getting mail?
Yeah. Come on.
Man. Here's the thing. It's like, you could tell your mom off if you wanted to.
Sure,
be like, look, you got to stop treating me like a kid. But like, I mean, you put yourself in there. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to move out, dude. Don't be living with your moms. Honestly. She's doing mom things. It's what moms do.
Yeah, it sounds like she's a super overprotective mom and has been forever. Why are you surprised if you move back into her place?
She's too much. She's doing the same thing she's always done.
Yeah.
You're like, she always does this.
Mom
and then you move back in, and you're like, I can't believe she's doing
this. Yeah, you're insane for not having expected this.
Yeah.
Like, after your divorce, she's going to change?
Yeah. So I think, like, practicality says, if you're like, man, I'm getting a divorce, I'm really in straits, I'm half moving with mom, she's probably going to try to set a budget for me and read my mail. And if you didn't see that coming, then you're an idiot. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's probably always been this way.
Yeah.
And so, like, you accept the risk of moving in with your mom's if she acts this way. None of this sounds like it's a surprise to you.
I don't accept, I can't tell her.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hey, I just can't tell her no. Sure you can. Yeah,
I'll hurt her feelings.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah.
I want to know what happens if you don't follow the budget. You get a slap?
Yeah. I'd buy an extra car.
Is your dog taken away?
Get a slap. I mean, the older I get, the more, the more you try to break rules your mom does, sets down. You're like, hey, about two Clark bars, mama.
Timothy, did you get Starbucks three times this week?
Yeah, I did.
Do what I want.
I pay double, and I tip heavy.
She's not going to kick you out. She wants you there.
Yeah, I misbehaved in any possible way.
All right. I'm not cleaning my room, Mom.
So overall, our advice is, look, you need to move out of your mom's place, or you need to, you can tell her if you want to, but like, I don't know, she sounds old, like she's just stuck in her ways.
I think you need to have your ex-wife move in instead.
To your mom's house?
Yeah.
Both of you are going to live with your mom now?
No, you move out.
Oh.
What a weird situation, Dan.
I'm not sure you got the influence to tell your ex-wife where to move in after you divorced her.
Torture. You should move in with my mom.
I've got an idea, babe.
Yeah.
I know we're not together anymore for probably the same reason as I'm dealing with my mother right now, but you should move in with her.
Yeah.
She could set a budget like nobody's business.
Save their marriage.
That's a great suggestion, Tommy.
She'll open your mail for you. You never have to worry about it.
All right. So our advice is, you need to tell mom what's up, or you need to move out.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
What if mom doesn't change her ways after you tell her what's up?
You move out.
Yeah. I think you need to move out.
I think you can have communication with your mother, and then if it doesn't work, I mean, okay, she's probably an old woman that's set her ways. Move out.
Yeah, you don't get to dictate the terms of which you stay at this woman's place.
Right.
Like, she is who she is. She gets to say what she wants to say, and like, either it's all right with you or it's not.
You're 49 years old. Your mom could be 70.
I don't know.
Right.
In what way was the woman oppressed? She's like checking her mail, doing stuff for her. Like,
yeah.
Why don't you just take it easy for a few months?
Treating me like I'm five. I have a lot of anxiety about it.
Hey, man.
It sounds like a personal problem.
Well, like if someone was like, hey, I'm going to check your mail for you and make you sandwiches and treat you like you were five, I'd be like, okay, I'll have that.
Yeah.
while I'm recovering from my divorce for a few months, why don't you just go ahead and do whatever it is you want to do?
My 49-year-old butt be playing Elder Scrolls, sitting there watching TV, waiting for Mama to show up with my ham sandwich. You know I don't like the honey mustard, Mama.
Crust's removed, Ma.
Make it again.
Yeah.
Microwave this uncrustable.
Hurry up. I'm trying to beat this skeever.
I don't. Maybe it hits me because of. It's because of the anxiousness. Anxiousness is always like is in the presence of like uncertainty or I'm not sure or like unresolved. But like, what is the problem? Like either accept it or go. But like, why not just accept it? Well, why? What's to be anxious about?
Right.
Hey, I opened your mail. Okay.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
Sweet. I hate letter openers.
There's nothing uncertain about that.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no reason for anxiety. Yeah.
You should trust the certainty that if you get mail, Mom's going to open it.
Yeah, you could say, hey, look, I'm not anxious about this, but I don't like it. Like, that makes sense to me. Like, it's just a preference that you have. But, like, the anxiety, I don't understand. It's not looming.
Right.
It just is.
Just feels like that's your brain's, like, response to, like, incorrect fear. Like, something's not actually happening, but you are perceiving something dangerous or that you should be fearful of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? Like, it's the concept of, like, I'm always going to be on the alert because there's a lion behind me.
Yeah.
There's never been a lion behind you.
Yeah, and that's important to me because, like, not that you don't have a thing to deal with, but it does suck if you're trying to fix the wrong thing.
Yeah, sure.
Anxiety feels very cloakish, nebulous, like you can't, like, you're throwing punches at the wind. I don't like my mom checking my mail, however, is a very clear thing. And you can think through that and go, I tell her to stop, I move out. These are my options.
Yep, right.
Right, but if it feels like anxiousness, it's much harder to fight back. And so put a name to it, but like, let's call it for what it is. It's not anxiousness. You just don't like the behavior your mom's doing.
Stop opening my mail. No! I'm out of here.
To be fair, you've been out of the house for a while. She's used to grabbing the entirety of the mailbox and just opening the crap up.
You're the schmuck who forwarded your mail to her address.
You don't belong there, fella. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are intruding on a 70-year-old woman's house, and, like, she makes roast on Wednesday, she makes ham on Thursday, and she opens all the mail at once. And so, like, some of this you're just going to be like, when in Rome, like you let the Romans do.
Maybe she's just naturally curious because she's debt-free, and she wants to feel what it remains. Like, remember what it's like to have to get a bunch of bills.
Right. Yeah. Hey, dear life in the path, my mom is a meddler. I now find that she's meddling. What do I do?
What do I do?
Yeah. Stop acting surprised.
Can you anticipate that it got worse when I moved into her place?
After my divorce?
Okay. Secular says, the question was, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah.
Secular says, yeah, I sure do. If you're still living with your mama, move as soon as possible or have your mail delivered to a post office box. Because you suffer from severe anxiety, consult a therapist who can help you to control it, as well as give you the tools to handle your probably well-meaning but overbearing mother. Then speak up and let her know how you feel.
Help you to control it.
Mm.
Such a terrible statement.
Yeah.
You want to do one more?
Yeah.
Dear life from the path.
Okay.
Path. My fiance and I have been together for 14 years.
Oh.
Whoa.
Fiance, 14 years.
Okay.
We just got engaged 6 months ago.
A few months ago, his mother told us that she inherited a home that had belonged to her parents, and she wanted to gift it to us. I was skeptical, because any gift from her comes with tons of strings attached.
Yeah.
We were told it would take a few months to get the paperwork in order, so in the meantime, could we help with the upkeep of the property until we moved in?
Mm.
We agreed, but she dictates the day and time. My fiancé and I have 2 days off each week. On one of them, we are off together, and on the other, we aren't. We planned it that way. Well, ever since he has been helping with the upkeep, my fiance's mom insists that it needs to be done on our day off. She says it's because her husband is also off. Am I wrong to be upset that my fiance chooses to do the upkeep on, quotes, our day off versus his day off? This has been consistent for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Oh, no. 4 weeks. Whoa. Unbearable. I called his mother and asked if he could just come on his day off. Her response was, oh, well, you'll be here soon enough, and he can do it whenever. But she also said her husband will still come to help, which makes me think that this will be something I will be dealing with forever.
Yeah.
Any advice?
Yeah, you might have to disassociate from this weak-livered puffball you have for a fiance. One, because he took forever, and you're still not married. And two, you had to call his mom.
Right.
He's not volunteering to handle this himself. It does feel like you're going to have a significant problem once you move into this joint of the husband or the stepdad, father-in-law, the dad showing up all the time to come do chores at it? Like, why are we doing that?
Right.
Yeah. Are you sure you're swinging with? She didn't say what days these are, right? Like, It sounds to me like they both have off Saturday, and so does the husband,
uh-huh.
or the older husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it the older husband doesn't have Friday off, which potentially is when the other day off is, right?
Yep.
And so it would be reasonable to be like, hey, man, can you come help us out on Saturday? That's when we're going to upkeep this place. Probably cleaning it all out and doing all these things. You're getting a free, probably couple $100,000 house. And they're just like, can you help us get all this stuff?
Are they actually getting the house, or are they just being allowed to live there?
No, they're giving it. It's a gift.
Yeah. I think they should do it together. Do it on your day off together. Yes. It's a project you're doing
Yes.
as a couple.
Yes. It's your home.
You don't have any concerns about this overbearing mother?
No.
You think she's misrepresenting the situation?
Yes.
We had an advice for this thing like a year ago that was similar to this, and it was, oh, no, I'll leave you alone, and then, like, the dad was over there all the time and dictating all the stuff. That's the reality.
This is an American problem, right? Does it make sense to have your well-meaning dad come over and decide he wants to change outlets in the basement today? Just sigh. Make the man a sandwich and thank him for fixing the outlets.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? He's not there all the time.
What if it's Naked Friday?
What?
You need to do Naked Fridays are fine. Come over on Saturday when it's closed weekend time.
What a weird life you guys live. I hated that institution that you just created. Well, Naked Friday?
Mostly unnecessary, I think. But I'm going to tell you how to live.
Seems like a weird thing to distinguish a day for.
Here's the thing. It's like when I can only speak from my own experience and anybody I've ever met, but when my wife and I bought our first house, we were over there working on it together.
Yeah.
All the time.
That's
true. It was consuming in a way because it's your first house and you want to paint every room and you want to find decorations for everything and all the stuffs, right? And so they're basically asking you to do the same thing and you're like, pshaw, not on our common day off.
Let him do it.
I don't understand. Mm. Every day is your day. You're married or getting married, right? You share all the days. That's the way it works.
They're going to be 10 years down the line and still not married and living in this house together. Am I the only one who was weirded out by the statement of, like, we have one day off that we share, and we each have a separate day off where we don't share it, and that was intentional?
Yeah.
Like, that statement seems like a weird deal of, like, we could have had 2 days off together, but we really only wanted the one.
We'd like to keep our separate
days. We'd like to keep our separate days off also, where I have a day where David's working, and David has a day where I'm working. I don't know. That just felt weird to me. Like, it felt like a weird thing to say specifically that, like, we planned that way.
I don't know. That seems smart to me.
I mean, I'm sure there's practical reasons. Like, if you can both have the weekends off, or one of you could have Wednesdays off and more stuff is open on a Wednesday, like, it makes sense for one of you to have Wednesdays off. It's like doctor's offices are open on Wednesdays.
And how many hours a day do they work? I mean,
that I don't know, Dave.
If it's just like an 8-hour day, that's like, you got a whole lot of time.
Yeah, yeah. The evenings and such.
Yeah.
Or the mornings. You can wake up before work.
You can rake the yard.
No, there's a lot of time in this day.
I recently found that out. To be honest with you, I'm in my 30s, and I recently found out that there are many hours in the day before work starts.
Yeah. Mm.
Whoa.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I thought literally the day started 10 minutes before I needed to be at work.
I mean, not 10, but, like, not that early.
Nice to see everybody's up.
Actually, I won't tell you. This story's going to take me forever, so never mind.
Hey, speaking of pets, though. Tell me if this does or does not sound like the Lord's hand. I got in a Bible study with somebody, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I committed to reading the entire Bible in 6 months.
Yeah,
I've been notorious throughout my entire life to where I'm going to get up early and I'm going to read this Bible. And give me about a week and a half, at maximum 2 weeks, and I'm failing, right? I just can't do it anymore. And then I just about the time that I decided I was going to get in this Bible study and get on a Bible reading plan, we adopt this dog. And this dog gets up at 5:28 every morning without fail. No alarm.
Yep.
5:28.
I got
up
one
every
of those.
Time. And I was so freaking mad at this dog forever until I realized I was 2 months into my Bible reading plan and had nailed it every single day, even on weekends. And I'm like, now, wait a minute. This kind of feels like maybe because I didn't need this dog at all.
Right.
I don't even know why I got this thing. And then I look back and I find myself faithful despite my best efforts because of this crappy dog.
Mm.
And I think, I don't know, if I had to tell someone else this story, they're going to be like, I don't know, Mike, that sounds like a wild coincidence. But it speaks volumes to me where I've seen failure my entire life in this area. This dog's
freaking dog.
Obedience.
Yeah. Riches kind of is going to be with you in heaven.
That's right. Waking everybody
Come on,
up.
Britches.
Peter smacking him with the newspaper.
Also, why was that like the third dog name you came up with
what,
in your hypothetical was Britches?
Cool name.
All right.
What would you name your dog?
I apparently said Fido like six times, so maybe
that's
Fido.
That's a standard issue dog name.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Actually, it's not anymore.
You're lucky it's not going to be Dog. I have a cat named Cat.
Yeah.
I don't care about this.
Okay. Secular says, the question was, I think I'm going to be dealing with this forever. Do you have any advice? Secular says, grit your teeth, count your blessings, and accept the house. This won't last forever, and in the end, you will be richer for it.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. That's the advice. Shut your mouth, take the house.
I'd like to complain about Seven giving me a couple hundred grand.
No kidding. It's a weird, it's
I
weird
to work
thought.
4 hours a week.
You're going to be all right, Boop.
Just, I don't care about this. Was one of the most jarring things that has been said to me in the last 10 years. We're on a podcast together. Mike and I are in dialogue, and Ben goes, I don't care about this.
It felt right.
It certainly shut it down.
That is one of the funniest things I've heard in the last decade, and I loved it.
I've underdeployed this method as the host of the program.
Absolutely true. You should use this more often. I don't care about this.
I don't care about that at all. All right. You've been listening live from the path. Hey, we made it. 31 minutes. That's right.
Very good.
Oh, that's good.
Right. Short and sweet here today. You're welcome for the advice. If you have any questions for us, give us a call or text at the Live from the Path. Bob Eisler, complaint line, 515-517-0085. That's call or text. And, maybe we'll read your thing on the air. Unless you tell us not to. Say, keep this private, fellas. And then we'll talk about it in the 2 hours before the show starts. And we'll get it horsed out.
You'll never know.
Give you some sort of response or something. All right. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes next week. May or may not have a show. But in the meantime, be faithful in the means. God will have the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.